Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes, he is worthy.
Amen.
He is worthy. The Lord said, put me in remembrance. Let's have a contention together. And he said that I will do a new thing. And we need a new thing, ladies and gentlemen. Let me ask that you give the Lord a praise from the fruit of your lips, not your hands, but the fruit of your lips this morning. Because he is worthy to be praised. You know, when you have cataract surgery, you don't see close up. You can see out, but they don't give you anything for close up. I thank God for his blessing and another opportunity to share the word of God. Thank the Reeder River Missionary Baptist Church leadership for another opportunity to stand in this sacred spot. Thank you, praise team, for the singing songs of Zion and the musician for great music. We are grateful for Chris and the audio visual ministry. Also, I thank my brother and sisters in Christ who serve in the preaching ministry. Let us go to the throne of grace. Father, I thank you for another day and your grace to preach the word of God. Holy Spirit, I welcome you to help, guide, and lead me as I deliver your word in Jesus' name. And Father, I ask that you open up the hearts and minds of your people, that they will receive your word in grace. And I thank you. Amen. The text this morning has been for 1 Samuel 8, 4 through 7, the King James Version, New King James Version. And it reads thusly. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, look, you are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. So Samuel prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said to Samuel, heed the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. And Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandments of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. And John 1, the first chapter, 35th and 36th verses, said, again the next day, John stood with two of his disciples And looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." This title today, you can be seated in the presence of the Lord. The title this morning has been one that I've struggled with for a long time. It's a driven person versus a called person. A driven person versus a called person, which is a contrast. We are going to contrast this morning, and this sermon uses information from the book of Gordon MacDonald, Ordering Your Private World. Ordering Your Private World. The Tao, the Bible mentions few men who typify the driven man better than Saul. The first king of Israel, King Saul, never got out of his golden cage. All he did was heap increasing stress upon himself that destroyed him. The Bible introduction of King Saul should be warning enough that the man had flaws that would create him to lose personal control quickly, if not addressed within his inner world. In contrast, John the Baptist is a powerful example of a called man. He dared to tell fellow Jews that they ought to quit justifying themselves based on their sense of superior racial identity and face up to their need for spiritual and moral repentance. Baptism, he said, would testify to the genuineness of the repentance. No wonder no one was neutral about John. He never minced words. He was a man that people either loved or hated. One person finally took his head, but not before he finished his work. Dr. Hunt, consider Jesus' apostles who were appointed and founded his church. They were a strange group that I would not have picked. But Jesus called them, and you know the results. The people who volunteered to follow Jesus were turned down. Why? Jesus, with his insight, looked into their private worlds and saw driven men out to make something of themselves. Perhaps we would have found that they were men with their plans, goals, and objectives. Jesus will not do mighty works in the private inner of driven people. He never has. He seemed to prefer to work with people whom he calls. That is why the Bible knows nothing of volunteers. Only the call. In the inner sphere of the person, one has to begin somewhere. I have chosen to start where Jesus the Christ appears to have started, distinguishing between the called and the driven. He called those who were driven to him and avoided those who were driven and wanted to use him. How can you spot a driven person? Today, it is easy. Driven people show marks of control and stress. When you see these signs, you have found driven men and women. Industry leaders have become alarmed by the massive cost of symptoms of stress and absenteeism. Company medical expenses and loss of productivity are running rampant on the jobs. Because if we look now, with this pandemic, and Dr. Drummond was announcing those who have transitioned. So we need to stop being so stressful and let our lives, the way we live, settle down. Because I think right now, too many of us are leaving. The word driven describes how many of us are not facing the reality of what we are doing to ourselves. First, a driven person is most often gratified only by achievement. Second, a driven person is preoccupied with the symbols of accomplishment. Third, they are conscious of the concept of power and seeks to possess it in order to wield it. Finally, a driven person tends to have little regard for integrity. People who lack integrity become progressively deceitful. They not only deceive themselves, but they also deceive others. Look what happened with former President Trump trying to stay in office. If that's not deception, what is? He's trying to right now, because, you know, I lived in New York for a long time. I played baseball with Donald Trump. While I was in Brooklyn, he was in Queens. So I know who and what he is. All right? As King saw story unfold in the biblical text, we learned some things about the man. Early in his career, Saul made a fatal mistake. He disobeyed God by failing to completely destroy the Amalekites and their possessions. And God had commanded in 1 Samuel 15:8, Saul did not trust God, and Saul's faith and reliance on God was not personal or foundational in his heart. He did not display a faith that can move mountains or defeat the enemy. Instead, he exhibited a spirit of fear, jealousy, pride, and selfishness. God will never leave us nor forsake us. Saul did not believe that. Saul conquered the Amalekites, but decided to spare King Agag, who God ordered him to kill, and all his animals. As King Saul successfully defeated enemy nations to protect Israel, he had tasted success, and in his spirit of accomplishment, pride crept in. King Saul was destroyed by his own jealousy. These things could contribute to his success or his ultimate failure. Let's look at what he did. He went to Gilgal, and King Prophet Samuel was supposed to come and offer the sacrifices. Prophet Samuel didn't come on time, as Saul thought. So he gave the sacrifices himself. And he was told that this is not something that kings do. Prophets give the sacrifices. So he told him then that your kingdom will not endure. Because sometimes we take on something that we should not have taken on. It's not yours. All right? And we'll find when we come to John. John says, didn't I tell you I am not the Christ? Right? I'm not the Christ. But the people who put together the things that they were going to ask John, so that they thought they could find John doing a negative thing or saying something negative. But John didn't do that. John said, I told you I am not the Christ. But then if you know who you are not, then that's the beginning of knowing who you are. Okay? The beginning of knowing who you are. But we have people, they form opinions and they put things together to see that we will act or react negatively. That's what they wanted to see. But we didn't do that. We're not going to give them that satisfaction. But if we look again down the line, John the Baptist, or the baptizer, rather than the Baptist, but he is known as John the Baptizer, the call man, is a remarkable contrast to King Saul, driven man. From the very beginning, John the Baptist seemed to have had a vivid sense of destiny, the results of a heavenly assignment that came from deep within himself. One should easily see the contrast between King Saul and John the Baptizer, most vividly when their identities and senses of career security are under attack. King Saul, the driven man, you will remember, violently lashing out against his perceived enemies when he became convinced that the preservation of his power and the survival of his position relied solely upon himself. But John the Baptizer is another story. Look at John the Baptizer. When news comes to his popularity, may be on the verge of severe decline. Let me suggest that John is facing the loss of his job. After John has introduced Christ Jesus to the multitudes, they have begun to transfer their affection to the Lamb of God. It was brought to John's attention that the crowds, even the two of his own disciples turned to Jesus, listened to his teaching, and were baptized by his disciples. One gets the feeling that those who brought the news to John concerning the decline of his ratings may have hoped that they would get the chance to see John react just a bit negatively. But he did not. Brothers and sisters, notice John's concept of life by stewardship. His interviewers built their questions on the assumption that the words once belonged to John and earned them with his charisma. If that is true, then John actually lost something. But we know that John did not own anything, not even those persons who he was in charge of. That is the quality of a called person. The task of the steward is to properly manage something for the owner until the owner comes to take it back. That's what a steward should do. John knew that the crowd leaving him for Christ was never his in the first place. God had placed them under his care for a time. That was just fine with John. John's view of stewardship presents us with an essential contemporary principle. His crowds may be our careers, assets, national and spiritual gifts, or health. Are these, let me ask you a question. Are these things owned? Are they owned? No. No. Not to a steward and a called person. But to a driven person, they are owned. But we only manage something until it's time to give it up. If not, look at, we have a schedule. God has a schedule of when we're going to check out of here. Each one of us are going. We can't say we're not going when our time comes. If we can't control that, then we leave everything else up to the Lord, because he's going to be the one who's going to check us out. The second quality of calmness is seen in John's awareness of his own identity. Remember, he said to his disciples, I have told you often who I am not, namely the Christ. Knowing who he was was the beginning of knowing who he was. John had no illusions to his identity that had already been established in his inner world. By contrast, those private worlds and destiny tend to get their identities confused. They can have an increasing inability to separate roles from the person. What they do is indistinguishable from what they are. People who tend to wield power may sometimes find it challenging to give it up. Driven people may fight to retain it. Called persons are submissive to God's ways, God's methods, and God's criteria for success. John was willing to accept those terms no matter the cost to him in pain or loneliness. God drew John into the desert where he could speak to him. He developed a unique sensitivity and courage to prepare him for his most extraordinary task, introducing the generations to the Christ. Again, we are treated to the evidence of the ordered inner life. John is a prototype of the product we are looking for. We should be looking for the prototype of John the Baptist. Brothers and sisters, Jesus will look inside your inner private world every day and know whether you have the spirit of King Saul or John the Baptist. Living in a competitive world where achievement is almost everything, you may find it easy to join Saul and to be driven to hold on, to protect, to dominate. But Christ will give you peace and assurance when you trust him for all things. He died to take away our sins and rose with all power to help all driven and called persons. Jesus calls us to adopt the spirit of John the Baptist, who listened to God's call, knowing his mission. Jesus wants to order our life according to his death, burial, and resurrection. He has the power to live life as called people. Thus, we enjoy a great deal of order within. Driven person versus called person. Which one will you choose? Which one will you choose? You have a choice. You can be a King Saul, or you can be a John the Baptist. Thank you. All right.